The disciples have had quite the lesson in following since that day when they were found by the sea. Do you remember the story that day when Jesus called Peter and Andrew and the brothers Zebedee and told them to leave their nets and their fishing boats and follow him? How much they have seen. Evil spirits cast out. Amazing acts of power. Life-giving, miraculous healing. Even lepers made clean and whole again. They saw Jesus breaking all the rules, spending time with all the wrong people, eating with tax collectors and worse. Jesus pushing back on the practices of the religious people. They heard amazing teaching in the synagogue and by the lake and in the fields. Sometimes the teaching was really clear. Sometimes it was even blunt, and other times it was so obtuse with parables that would take a lifetime to unpack. And not only that, he calms storms, he walks on water, he feeds thousands with virtually nothing. I doubt this is what they imagined when he said, "Follow me." Not what they expected at all, and yet, by this time in their journey of faith, their journey with Jesus, they knew somehow he was it. Jesus was the Messiah. They believed that. Even Peter could say that. And yet they've come so far, but they have a long way to go. And we see that in today's gospel reading. In Mark 8:32 and on, we see how little Peter and probably the rest of the disciples understood about who Jesus was, what he was about, and especially what it means to follow him, to be his disciple. Peter declares that Jesus is the Messiah, even though he didn't really know what he was talking about. The story had not yet unfolded. But belief was not enough. His thoughts were too small, too human. They were not yet of the size and the glory of God. So Jesus pushes him to move from what he believes about Jesus to becoming like Jesus. From ideas to values. From belief to life and the practices of faith. I've probably mentioned it before because it's so true. Peter's story of faith is one of my favorites. When I hear Ryan repeat the phrase, a long obedience in the same direction, I always think of Peter and his journey of faith with all the ups and the downs and the following and the falling and the getting up and following again. And how bit by bit, by the grace of God, the way of Christ is revealed to him and through him to all he came to meet. Peter's story reminds me that our journey of faith is the journey of a lifetime. And there are teaching places along the way, for we don't always get it right. Teaching places where we grow in wisdom and we grow further in the way of Christ. It's actually in the following that we come to know more and more of the wonder of God, what God's gift to us in Christ truly is, and what it means to call ourselves by his name. Peter's story doesn't just encourage me, it reminds me of a significant central truth of our story of faith. And that truth is that God is committed to our journey, and God continues to form us until our last breath, if only we follow. It reminds me that we don't walk this journey alone or by our own strength, but rather with the presence and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And we must always hold that in mind as we consider how we are to live as disciples of Christ. Now, we don't know what Peter said that day, when he was talking to Jesus and rebuked him, but we've got a pretty good idea of the overall theme. Following a dying Messiah did not fit Peter's understanding. It didn't fit what he saw for his future. Probably, if he was like many of his countrymen at that time, what he wanted was for it all to be made better. He wanted, along with all his people, to be released from the burden of Rome. He wanted the restoration of power and justice. As most people of his day and place, he had an idea what the Messiah ought to look like. N.T. Wright explains what Peter would have expected in a Messiah king. There was a central agenda. The Messiah would be God's agent in sorting out the mess and muddle that Israel was in and putting the Gentiles in their place. So his Messiah was going to be a real winner, coming in power, forming a new regime, putting the right people in the right places again. Peter had seen Jesus use his power miraculously, so it only fit that it would continue to be a story of power and victory and power and might that the followers of Jesus could share. And above all, a winner would never die in shame. So Peter had a pretty small box for the Christ, and it did not have room for a Messiah who must die. Whatever it was that Peter said, he tried to correct Jesus and even put Jesus in his place. But it was Peter who was in the wrong place, out front, as it were, rather than following as a disciple, deciding how it ought to be and how it ought not to be, thinking in a human way with a human agenda and a human understanding. Jesus responds with a sharp rebuke. But it was the rebuke of a teacher who longed for only the best because he loved his pupil. It wasn't the rebuke of rejection. It was the rebuke of correction. A correction that would lead to the teaching and wisdom that Peter would need for the journey ahead. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. That's repetitive. Pardon the printing. Again, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? There are commands in that rebuke. Lose your life. Deny yourself. Put down your life. Take up your cross. Follow me. Value what Jesus values. Then you will find authentic life, no matter what. Put down, take up. Let go of the world standards of power and status and success, and even the fear that feeds our longing for power and status, success. Take up the way of the kingdom. Put down serving yourself, and take up bringing the good news and the kingdom to others. What Jesus rebuked in Peter is the way of the world, then and now. Then and now, one's own life comes first. Self-preservation, self-centeredness, loyalty to self, serving the self, seeking power and maintaining status, all flow from this human value. The quest for power and status actually flows through the whole book of Mark. It's an interesting way to read it. It's always rooted in fear, and in Mark it always ends up in harming others. A quick hint as to where you will find this among other places are in Herod's story and the story of the Pharisees. The narrative in Mark teaches us that as we strive to acquire the world, we do so at the expense of others. At our worst, we destroy others, and ultimately, we destroy ourselves. This is not the way of the gospel, nor the way of the kingdom. The way that Jesus lived is the way of the gospel. The life that God wills for us all, it is very, very different. Life that is lived in the way of Christ for the sake of the gospel is focused on the other and on the kingdom of God, not on grasping or being number one. It's a life of sacrifice and faith, love, not fear. All live to the glory of God. Following Jesus means to put down our self-centeredness and self-protectiveness and take up our cross. What comes to your mind when you hear that phrase, take up your cross? I have an image in my head. The image I have in my head usually includes a deep sigh, a tense jaw, and a burdened expression. I guess it's my cross to bear. Just for fun, to get the expert's opinion, I Googled the phrase. And this definition came up. To bear one's cross, a heavy burden one must bear alone. I'm not so sure about that. To bear our cross as believers is more than just steely resolve and gritted teeth. It's living like Christ, who when he was here with us on this earth, was the mark of life in its fullness. And we certainly don't bear it alone. As Christians, as we bear our cross, like I said, we do it with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I moved beyond Google for a good image, and I found better words for a reflection in what one commentator wrote about bearing our cross. I invite you to take these words and ponder them in the light of Scripture and in God's story and see where this reflection can take you. The cross we are to embrace is not a predetermined hard row to hoe, as if we're only about God's business when and if we're unhappy. Rather, our cross is the daily journey of focusing on what endures, what matters, what reconciles, and what seeks the good. Focus on, take up, what endures, what matters, what reconciles, and what seeks the good. As I reflected on those words through Scripture, I came to see how those indeed are God's values. When we bear our cross, we are living people who are living as people who live the values of the kingdom. For Peter, taking up his cross ultimately meant suffering and dying for Christ and for the gospel. Perhaps most of us won't be called to die for the sake of another or for the sake of Christ in the gospel. Only God knows what the future brings. But we can know that we all must consider whether we live out of human values, seeking power and place, accumulation and self-preservation, or if we choose to live in the way of Christ, giving life to others, focusing on what matters, what reconciles, what endures, and what seeks the good. This has been the challenge of the church and the challenge for every Christian since that day when Jesus rebuked Peter. The challenge to figure out what it means to follow. And you know, sometimes we have got it right. Those stories weave throughout the stories of the church. Sometimes we've got it very wrong indeed, seeking and grasping for ourselves rather than sacrificing for others. Seeking the good. The colossal sins of Christian history all fall into that camp. Are personal examples of when we get it wrong? I can certainly make my own list. And every time I am not following, I know I am following human values. What's on your list? Perhaps it's our cultural frantic pursuit of happiness or our pursuit of distraction. Perhaps it's the way we view our money. Perhaps it's the way we use our time. Perhaps it's following Christ for what we can get out of it. Perhaps it's how we use our goods and our gifts. Name any way that me and mine first comes out of it. We can get it wrong when we think, as Peter did that day, that this life of following Jesus is about us and our place and our power and glory in the world. We get it right. We are following well when we live from God's point of view. Again, N.T. Wright. This is the point at which God's kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven will challenge and overturn all human assumptions about power and glory, about all that is really important in life. We get it right as we live in the way of Jesus, bearing our cross, bringing life to others for the sake of Christ and his good news. And we can do this every day, every one of us. Sometimes it shows up in very gentle, simple acts. Last week, I stopped by to visit an elderly woman who lives in care. Her life is quite bleak. Her memory is gone. She's not living a life any of us would choose. As she talked repeatedly, she told me of one thing she remembers. And as she told me of this, her face shone. She relaxed. And she smiled like you wouldn't believe. She told me of a family who used to come and visit her. A family would come with their small children just to see her. And I could tell by the way she told that story over and over and how she looked as she told the story, how richly they blessed her and how they brought life to her. Now, I don't know what they gave up to do this. Definitely, they would have given up any fairy tale illusions about what life ought to look like. They might have given up their own comfort or convenience. And I know they gave up their time, something that is a very precious and guarded commodity in our life these days. But I do know for sure that they brought life to her in the name of Christ in that small act. They were following Christ. Put down your life, take up your cross. As we continue our journey together, our journey of faith, may we all be people of sacrificial love and of service who give life to others. May we always focus on what matters, what endures, what reconciles, and what seeks the good. In Jesus' name, by the strength of his Spirit, and for the sake of his good news, to the glory of God. Amen.